evening. Please turn to Proverbs, verse 26 through 31. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of the elements. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fascinating, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Good evening again, brothers and sisters. This evening, I want to talk a little about godly women. Obviously, as all of you know, you've been able to make it out on Sunday mornings, I've been on this series about the local church, the works of the church, the structure of the church, common outside problems that the church must get rid of, common internal problems this morning that the church must get rid of. But this evening, kind of a, if you will, a bonus to the seven lessons I hope in this series, is this evening I want to talk about a woman's work in the local congregation. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, simply about just this idea of it's way better to say what we are than the big laundry list of what we're not, right? I am not this, I am not this. But the list of what I am not is endless. But the list of who I am is much more easy to grasp. It wouldn't take as long. And I think it's good for us in any aspect, whether it's in the church, whether it's the works of the church, to not dwell on all the things that are not the works of the church, not dwell on all the things that we cannot do. But let's dwell on the already large list of all the things we can do, we should be doing. And so this idea of this thinking of the positives, not just thinking of the list of the things forbidden, if you will, thinking of the positive, the things you can do in any aspect of your life, I think is healthy. So this evening, I want to talk just a little bit about a woman's work in a local congregation. You know, too often the only thoughts and comments that we hear about a woman's contributions to the congregation is simply a list, right, that we can find in the Bible of their limitations within the public assembly. And of course, this is true. We all know passages like this one, and we'll look at 1 Timothy in a moment, but we know this one well, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning of verse 34, reads, "Women should remain silent in the churches," right, in the assemblies. "They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church." Also, a similar sentiment, right, that we know about in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it reads, "A woman should learn in quietness and in full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach," excuse me, "or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet." You know, it is very true that women in the church, as we assemble together, are not to teach or to have authority over the men. I don't think there's anyone here who's trying to change that or overturn that. But such limitations notwithstanding, the early church that we read about benefited greatly and really unbelievably by the contribution of many, many godly women. There's a whole list, and this isn't even the full list. This was just my attempt at putting some small list together. We can read of many contributions made by many godly women, to include Phoebe, which is known to be a helper of Paul and of many other evangelists and Christians in Romans 16, 1 and 2. The help of Priscilla, even risking her own life for the gospel and for the sake of Paul, Romans 16, 3 and 4. One named Mary, it says, we don't know what she did, but she's in the scriptures, it says, who worked much labor, who worked very hard in the labor of the Lord. Whatever it was, her name was mentioned in Romans 16, 6. The two twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa, in Romans 16, 4 were mentioned. And also there, the beloved Persis, a sister there, and work that she did. We all know of Lydia in the scriptures, right? Who took care of Paul and Silas. as they were journeying in Acts 16, 14, and 15. And Dorcas, or Tabitha, as your translation might say, who took care of the needy widows there in the church that we can read about in Acts chapter 9, 36 through 39. You know, especially today, the growth of the local congregation is a direct result of the great labor that our women are doing. You might be asking, well, how can that be, brother, if women, as we've read, are limited in what they can do in the public assemblies? Well, hopefully, IA at least have made this very clear and have said multiple times in multiple lessons. Our worship together, that we come for this, what, hour maybe, is such a small portion of the overall work of the Lord's church. Yes, it's important, but there's so much more work outside of these small time slots that must be getting done if this church is to grow. And to be honest, in my experience in the church growing up, it is by far the godly women in the church who are working behind closed doors, who get the bulk of this work done. The sisters here are often the ones who provide much of this needed work that gets left out. So what can a woman do regarding the work of the Lord's church? Well, I hope to show you this evening how she can contribute in the works of the church through benevolence, through edification, and yes, specifically and especially through the work of evangelism. Let's look at each one of these. The work of benevolence. James 1:27 and 1 John 3:17. 1 John 1:27, it reads, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." 1 John 3:17, similar sentiment. "But whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him?" Taking care of our brothers and sisters in this church who are sick, who are poor, who are somehow burdened, is a service that all of us, every single Christian, has to do. Women no more or no less than men. We all have to be involved in the well-being of each other. As I mentioned earlier in the lesson, we can read about Dorcas or Tabitha in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, who used her skills of making clothes to take care of the needy widows in the church there. You know, in my opinion, women are often much more creative and in tune to the needs of other Christians here. In my experience, it is the women, the godly women in the church, who often possess skills through which benevolence can be rendered not only more effectively, but definitely more efficiently. Any work that a woman does in the area of benevolence for the Lord's church is a powerful contribution to the work and reputation of that body and cannot be overstated. A woman's contribution in the work of edification, building each other up, of encouraging one another. Let's look at these two passages here in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, and then we'll look at 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it reads, "Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it reads, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you," and this is Paul writing to Timothy, "which first dwelled where? In your grandmother Lois. And then where? And then in your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." As we just read in these passages, the work of correcting, the work of building up one another, is not just for the men of the congregation. And again, in my opinion, women are often better suited at developing each other and developing others, because meaningful relationships mean more to them than men, than it does to men often. Women can also do much in the building up of the church through their teaching and their instruction to others. As we just read here in 2 Timothy, right? Grandmothers and mothers should be teaching and instructing their children, just as Lois and Eunice did. We can read in Titus 2, older women in the church should be, must be, ought to be, it's your obligation to be teaching and counseling younger women in the church, especially when there are people who come into our church without the benefit of having a physical mother who's a Christian, without the benefit of a godly mother. You, as a mature Christian woman here, should become, if you will, a spiritual surrogate. Just as Christ said, right? These are my mothers. These are my brothers. That's what we ought to be to others. With so many dysfunctional families and emotional problems out there today, the gift of encouragement, the gift of nurturing possessed by so many godly women is absolutely essential to the success of this local congregation. Many who preach, myself first and foremost, have been helped, have been encouraged, have been prodded, have been taught by godly women in the church. Now more than ever, I believe there's a special need for women to see themselves as encouragers, as teachers, as ones who will right wrongs that they see. The women's contribution now in regards to evangelism in the church. Let's look at these two passages here. Galatians 3, 26 through 29, and then Acts 18, 24 through 26. Galatians 3, 26. It reads, "For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." And we see this in action, this very verse in action here in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 24. "Now there was a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was proficient in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was accurately speaking and teaching things about Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John." Right? He had a gap in his knowledge. He knew up to a point, but he didn't have the last chapter of the book, right? "And Apollos began speaking boldly in the synagogues. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately to him." The gospel of Jesus is God's power to save the world. All of us here, men or women, must be sharing it with everyone we meet. We see that Priscilla, alongside with her husband there, took Apollos aside, and it says that they explained the way of God more accurately to him. I don't believe she was a bystander. I believe she had a part in helping this young man, showing him the truth. We see Priscilla also provided a place for Paul to stay during his ministry at Corinth in Acts 18, beginning in verse 1. We can also see 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. We see a reference to Aquila and Priscilla opening up their home and hosting the church at Ephesus. Then we can also see in Romans 16, 3 through 5, it reads to me, they hosted the church there while they were in Rome. Women in church can also help support those who preach the gospel, as we see a lot of examples of this. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, there in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. One can read about Lydia, as we mentioned, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, who immediately after becoming a Christian and being baptized, all but demanded of Paul and Silas to come to her house so that she could take care of them. You know, there's certainly much, and I think we should think of all the positives, all the things that a woman can contribute to the work of the local church. The very act of praying, which is not a small work that needs to be done, can be the very reason the local body lives or dies. There's a wide range of activities and works that women can engage in without going beyond the limitation placed on them in the public assemblies, as we've read. The true measure of the health of a local church is not defined by what occurs 1% of the time in our assemblies. But arguably of even greater importance, it includes what its members are doing day by day. What they're doing in their homes, what they're doing at their work, what they're doing at school, and in any and every other aspect of their lives. The most valuable work of benevolence, edification, and evangelism takes place on a daily, personal basis. When godly women in the church are active in the service of the Lord, using their unique talents and opportunities given to them, then countless souls can be brought to Christ. Countless brothers and sisters here are encouraged and can be strengthened. And ultimately, the Lord's church is made stronger and more fortified against all the outside influences of Satan. Brothers and sisters, I pray that there will always be, as we can clearly see, even this evening, a surplus of women in the Lord's church who are like Mary Magdalene, who are like Dorcas, like Lydia, like Priscilla, like Lois, like Eunice and like Phoebe. Look at these beautiful words that are written in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, about Phoebe. What a beautiful thing that can be said about her. It reads, beginning in verse 1, I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Chenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. May we, especially the men in this congregation, never take godly women for granted, or never denigrate their valuable service rendered to this body here. But rather may we receive and encourage them and help them and fund them, right? Give them whatever support they need so that they can do the works that happen so often behind closed doors. I want to thank you all, brothers and sisters, for your time and attention. I hope this meant something to you. I hope you can reflect upon this as I will, as I've had these thoughts in the last few days, about how great the women are in this church, how the godly women, without them, right, there would be no church if it wasn't for all that's done and all the work that they continue to accomplish. This evening, though, if there's anyone here who is not a Christian, or if there's anyone here who in any way would like to come forward, would like to repent or ask for prayers on their behalf or anything they're dealing with, we're here. The church is a family. We want to help and assist you in whatever way we can. If you are subject, if there's anything here that this body, this church, can do for you, we pray that you would let us know as we stand and sing together.